Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
All right, I want to read a couple of stories to you, just some jokes, just to help you laugh a little bit more. All right, this is Lucy to Charlie Brown. Everybody knows who Charlie Brown is, right? Yeah. Lucy says to Charlie Brown, "I hate everything. I hate everybody. I hate the whole wide world." Charlie Brown says, "But I thought you had inner peace." Lucy replies, "I do have inner peace, but I still have outer obnoxiousness." I thought that was pretty good. And then Mildred the church gossip, okay? This is Mildred the church gossip. Mildred the church gossip and self-appointed monitor of the church's morals kept sticking her nose into other people's business. Several members did not approve of her extracurricular activities, but feared her enough to maintain their silence. She made a mistake, however, when she accused Henry, a new member, of being an alcoholic after she saw his old pickup parked in front of the town's only bar one afternoon. She emphatically told Henry and several others that everyone seeing it there would know what he was doing. Henry, a man of few words, stared at her for a moment and just turned and walked away. He didn't explain, defend, or deny. He said nothing. Later that evening, Henry quietly parked his pickup in front of Mildred's house, walked home, and left it there all night. You gotta love Henry. Okay, I like that story. That's pretty good. All right, so we're talking about knowing God or the image of God, okay? And the image of God, you know, I kind of struggled with what to name the messages because how do you, you know, people think image, they think, what does he look like? Does he have a long beard? Is he old? Is he, you know? And there are actually quite a few scriptures in the Bible that talk about God's back, his arms, his eyes. I mean, there's all sorts of things that describe his feature. But when we say the image of God, that really doesn't do a whole lot of good for us. Now, it does good in a sense in that we're made after his image, you know. So what does God look like? Well, us, to be honest with you. Only he's not a body, he's a spirit. Now, sometimes that, you know, throws us a little bit. But and then I thought, well, you know, people have an idea about God in nature. You know, we know God by nature. No, you can see what God created, but you can't know God by nature. There's only one way to know God, and Jesus was, or the Father was so concerned that you would have a proper understanding of who he is that he sent Jesus to show you. Okay? Now, that's a big thought, because if you think about it, God was doing pretty good on his own, but yet There's a part of God that is so fellowship oriented, relationship oriented, and has such love that he wanted a creation to be able to express that love too. In fact, the angels saw it to such a degree in the Old Testament that they said, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" In other words, why in the world do you even, the angels don't even get it. Why do you care so much about humanity? And honestly, I probably would have to say, I don't know for sure why. I'm thankful for it. And so I guess in this series, that's what we're trying to kind of, we're unpacking, so to speak. We're figuring out why, Lord, why? I mean, I get that you're God and that you're powerful and that you're strong, that you made everything and you're awesome because you created the whole universe, but what makes us so special that you would give your son to die for us? What makes you so special that you would go through the process of sending your son into a world that you knew was going to kill him? You know, and these are thoughts that I think about and that the Holy Spirit really deals with me about because honestly, I know the Lord wants you to know why. And not just know why from the standpoint of, well, I can tell you that John 3:16 says, that's good, we should know what John 3:16 says, but it has to be more than just head knowledge, it has to be an experience with a living God. Does that make sense? So that you're not just gathering information, but you're having fellowship and relationship with God. It's more than just information. It's about an encounter with him in conjunction with information. Everything in this book just points you in the right direction. But how many know when you heard John 3:16 or somebody shared Jesus with you, when that was just information, it came in. But then when you acted on it, it became a knowing on the inside of you. It had an effect on your life. All of a sudden, there was the creator of the universe became an intricate part of what you do on a daily basis. You're aware of him. Now we have this interaction, and I know there's another person with me that I can't see, and his name is Jehovah God. Does that make sense? And so God wanted so desperately to show you what he was like. So he's been doing it ever since Adam and Eve. Right? But as time went on from Adam and Eve, the world got darker and darker and darker after sin came in. You know, people often ask the question, why God? Why do all these things happen in the earth that are bad? If you're God and you could do anything, why do all these things happen? It's simple. If you go to Genesis chapter 3, you'll see. Everything that's going on in the earth that is stealing, killing, or destroying. You just pack them in those three categories, okay? Anything that is going on in the earth in those three areas, the door that was opened by Adam and Eve and their disobedience to God, that was where it came in right there. Now, they had no idea what they were letting in. I think they pretty much got a huge revelation themselves. But that's why things are going on. So what God decided to do is, he said, I'm going to get into the earth, I'm going to save people, I'm going to take the brunt of sin, I'm going to take all of sin on me, and then I'm going to give people an opportunity to get out of darkness into light. And so everything that God is good. From Genesis to Revelation, there God does not have one bad bone in his body, so to speak, okay? You don't ever have to go, well, you got to watch that God. You know, he might not quite do what he said he was going to do. No, every time he is faithful, and he always watches over his word and performs it, and he is the epitome of character. In other words, he never has an off day or deceives you in any way. Anything that comes like that is of the enemy. So learning and understanding the image of God, or understanding God through the life of Christ, is what we're talking about. And what we're doing is building a foundation. Remember we just talked about, but we're in the ground floor of this thing. And where it's going is going to be awesome. But it just takes time to get there. You got to dig out the foundation. You got to set the forms. You got to pour the gravel in. You got to pack. And then you get to the point where you finally have all the concrete guys showing up with the concrete truck. And then you get it all poured, and then you have to let it cure. And then you pull the forms. And then, you know, each stage takes time, okay? I work construction, so that's why that works for me. But you got to start somewhere and then move forward. And as you do that, what happens is, as you hear these things and then do them, God is just forming such strength inside of you that no matter what comes, you're not shaken. You're not moved away from who God is and your relationship with him. And so, and we looked at it in Scripture, but I just want to review a couple of things from last week. But we talked about, basically, there are four things that make up a foundation. This is all review, so you don't have to write it down if you're taking notes. But knowing the Father, knowing your enemy, knowing who you are in relationship to your Father, and then knowing how to worship your Father. Those are four basic things that we need to learn as Christians to be able to move forward into faith, love, prosperity, in other words, financial provision, all the benefits of being a good parent, raising children in the direction that they should go, being aware of the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, the renewal of the mind. I could go on and on and on and on. There's enough for us to talk about until Jesus comes back or we take a dirt nap, one or the other, okay? So there's plenty of material. But you got to start somewhere. And actually, those four principles are found in the Lord's Prayer. That's where they are. And they're not spelled out exactly, but they're general. You can break up the Lord's Prayer into four sections, and those are them right there. So we talked about that. We talked about John 14, where Jesus said in verse 7, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." So Jesus makes this strong declaration. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's a pretty strong declaration. That's why the religious people were always trying to throw rocks at him. Because they absolutely hated Jesus. Because honestly, they didn't know who he was. And they were hard to who he was. I honestly believe they carried like they either had rocks in their pockets, or they had a bag of rocks that they just, you know, some people carry other weapons today. They had rocks. They were just ready to stone everybody, it seemed like. But verse 7 through 11 really declares that in John 14, if you want to look at that. You can on your own time. And then we talked about knowing God. And then we talked about how God is the exact image of Christ, or Christ, I should say, is the exact image of God. And we looked at Hebrews 1, verse 3, and it says, he, talking about Jesus, is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying or radiance of the divine. And he is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature. He is the perfect imprint and very nature of God, the very nature of who God is. That he's the very image of God. Jesus is. So he is exactly what God is like. And so we talked about allowing truths to do three things: govern what you think, govern what you say, and govern what you do. The Bible is instruction is not just given for the purpose of gathering information. You know, I was talking to somebody one time, and they were talking about how this person got really good grades in school, okay? And school, you know, you're gathering information, and after you gather information, what do? Usually you have a test, right, on the information that you learned. Well, there's no real-life practical application of what you learn in school until you get out of school. So this person was talking about how they had a lot of grades that were really good. Why? Because they were really good at memorizing facts and then answering questions on a test. But now that they had been out of school for a while, they didn't really remember a lot of what they had learned or some of what they had learned. Why? Because they didn't need to apply it. All they needed to remember it for so long for this particular test so you could get a certain grade, but there was no life application to it. Okay? Now, when I took math in school, when they started adding letters to math, it went south for me quick. Why? Because I thought, man, no, you told me numbers were in math, you know? And what I found out, too, is in my line of work or in day-to-day life, I don't need letters in math. It's not necessary. All I need to be able to do is basically add, subtract, and multiply, maybe divide every once in a while. But for the most part, some of that information was useless to me. Well, the information that we're receiving from the Lord is for application to our lives. So truths are given so that you can govern what you think, what you say, and what you do. Okay? So govern what you think, what you say, and what you do. You say, you keep saying that. I know. I want you to get it. Govern what you think, what you say, and what you do. If you think the way God thinks, if you speak the way God speaks, and if you do what God does, you will get God's results. Does that make sense? It's just that simple. So I want to get God's results. That's my goal. And so when I find things in the scripture and I go, oh, I'm not doing that, then I have to change the way I think, I have to change the way I speak, and then I have to do what I see. And God does act on his word. He performs his word in my life, okay? So God's revelations, and I'll read this to you again. I thought it was a really good statement. But God's revelations in old times or in the Old Testament were given in many portions and in many ways. In other words, God tried to show himself and did show himself as much as he could to the Old Testament people. No prophet, as in like the office of a prophet, received the complete revelation. God spoke through visions, dreams, symbols, and events. as well as through human lips. These revelations pointed to Christ. So everything you see in the Old Testament points to Jesus. That's the end game of it all. These revelations pointed to Christ, and he is the final revelation from God. Now that's good to know, because there are people today that think they're getting new things from God, and they're not. Okay? There are whole sections of religions that believe that they're hearing from God and that new books of the Bible have been written and stuff like that. Nope, there isn't. It ended. It stopped, okay? Once the apostles had received from the Lord the books of the Bible that we have, then it stopped. It ended, okay? Trust me, there's plenty in here that we're not doing where we don't need more, okay? So that if that makes sense, as well as human... Okay, so Christ is God's last word to the world. All of the Old Testament revelation led up to Christ. God's final and full revelation. Anyone today who boasts of having a new revelation from God is deceived. God is not giving revelations today. Now listen to this thought. He is illuminating his once for all revelation in Christ. Okay? Now those are Bible terms, you know, like revelation and illumination and those type of things. But basically, if I had to break it down for you, a revelation is something being said or shown that has never been said or shown before. Okay? But an illumination is you've heard something before, but you didn't quite understand it, but then all of a sudden you go, ah, I get it. That's an illumination. So this is God's word to us, and the Holy Spirit illumines it to us, brings light. Ever been in a dark room before? You ever found a chair with your foot? Stinks, doesn't it? Find a chair with your pinky toe? If you turn the light on first, what happens? Was the chair all along there? Was the chair there all along? It was there, right? But when you turn the light on, what happened? You saw what was already there. That's the difference between revelation and illumination. Do you get it? Pretty simple, I know. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, because I did not think of that on my own. All right, so you could either have illumination or you can have a broken toe. It's up to you, okay? That's life lesson number I don't know whatever today. Okay, all right, so this morning I want to talk about, and that was review, but I want to talk about the story of the loving father. And we're going to talk about, you probably know it as the story of the prodigal son. So let's go to John, nope, not there. Let's go to Luke. No, let's not go there. You can go there. I'm not going to start reading it yet, but Luke chapter 15 and verse 11 is where that story is. But I'm going to read a couple other scriptures to you real quick. And you can just jot them down if you want. In other words, just write down the reference. It says this. My first point this morning is this. Jesus revealed God as Father. Okay? So if we're studying the image of God and what God is like, Jesus is the image of God. Jesus is the image of God. So what that means is that everything we see in Jesus' actions and words is a reflection of God. We read this last week, but we talked about it. But Jesus said, I only say what my Father says, and I only do what my Father does. Those are the two things. The other thing that I noticed in this, and this is what I want to bring out today, is that Jesus didn't just refer to God as God. He referred to him as Father. Now, there's not a lot of that in the Old Testament. The word Father is used 351 times in the New Testament. The majority of those is referring to God. Okay? The majority of those references is referring to God. So when Jesus talked about his Father, it drove the religious people nuts. It absolutely did. They hated it because they thought, no, he's not your Father. And what Jesus was revealing about God was simply this. Not only is he my Father, but he's going to be and is your Father. Okay? Now, this is a big deal. You say, well, what's the big deal about him being Father or God? It brings the relationship that much closer. If I work for Mike, and he's my boss, and I'm his employee, that's one relationship. But if Mike is my dad and I work for him, that's a whole different level of relationship. Because now, even though I still need to respect him as my boss, there is a level of relationship that I know that I have with him that I didn't have before. Right? You have a level of relationship with God that you didn't have before because of what Jesus did. So let's look at a couple of scriptures. You stay where you're at. If you want to write these down, you can look at them later. But John 20:17 says this, Jesus said to her, "Do not put your hand on me, for I have not gone up to the Father." This is where Jesus was raised from the dead. "But go to your brothers," or he says this, "go to my brothers and say to them, I go up to my Father and your Father." So Jesus was declaring to them, God is now your Father. That's a big deal. I don't think we're seeing quite the full truth here. But that's a huge deal. He's not just my God. He's my dad. My dad ain't broke. He ain't powerless. You know, that's not good English, but you understand what I'm saying. He is not wondering what's going to happen. He doesn't have a lack of ability or answer for your life. He knows exactly where you're at and where he wants you to go. And you're not walking into his office and sitting down and begging him for a raise. You're going into the living room and sitting down in your next to your dad and saying, "Hey, Dad, we need to have a conversation." Do you see the difference there? It's completely different. Different. Now God's no longer this distant creator way out in the universe who created everything and then just smacked the world and gave it a spin and said, "All right, good luck." You know, some people say, "My dad smacked me and told me good luck." Well, your dad is not like God. God is not like that. He is the God who reached into earth with his own son. That's what he's like. You say, what is God like? He is the God who would do anything to help you and bring you to where you need to be because he gave his son right away. Man, you think about that. That will help you be stable. You won't walk into circumstances and go, "What are we going to do?" And God, if you know him, he'll say, "I know what to do. I know exactly what to do. If you just follow me, you'll be fine. Because I'm your father. I'm not just creator. I'm dad." "My dad was sorry." Maybe. But your heavenly father isn't. We could all find faults in our own, you know, in our natural parents. That's easy, you know. Our kids are going to find them in us. But if we teach them to know God, wow, it'll make you secure when others are insecure. So, and then he says in John 1:12, he says, however, he gave the right to become... John 1:12, he says, however, he gave the right to become God's children to everyone who believed in him. These people didn't become God's children in a physical way from a human impulse or from a husband's desire to have a child. They were born from God. That's another great thought. When you got saved, you were born from God. Not from, you know, my old man. From God. Why do you look the way you do? I'm going to guess that you probably look like your parents. Okay? You probably have similarities. Well, if you're born from God, what kind of similarities could you have? That's an amazing thought, isn't it? That's an amazing thought. 1 John 3:3 says this, consider this, the Father has given us his love. He loves us so much that we are actually called God's children. Actually called God's children. So you're not just a Christian. You're God's son, you're God's daughter. You think about that. You know, when you need finances, when you need to know how to raise a kid, when you need to wisdom in an area, when you need whatever it is, healing for your body, when you need something, peace for your mind, you're not just crying out to the Creator. You're talking to your Father. How many have had a good natural father? Was your natural father, did he treat you good? And there's another scripture in the New Testament that says, Jesus said, you being evil know how to treat your kids good. How much more your Heavenly Father? How much more? We could just go around saying, how much more for the next week? And I wonder what kind of light we'd get. My Father in heaven is so much better than my natural father. And I have a good natural father. And I've had a good example for years, from grandparents down to parents. I mean, I've had good examples on all sides. Parents, both sides, moms and dads, both. Saved, spirit-filled, all that good stuff. Good examples for years and years and years. Yet, Jesus said, God is so much better than what your natural parents have ever done. Have your natural parents ever blessed you? Ever bought you something? Mine gave me a piece of land. That's good. Really good. They gave me a half an acre. That's not bad, is it? But you know what? God's better than that. Oh, man, this is exciting me. I mean, just thinking about this. He's better than that. I mean, what do you want to do for your kids? He's better than that. So just whatever you think you want to do for your kids, you can multiply it times whatever. We'll just say 100. And God wants to do that for you and for them. You see how important it is to know your Father? This could be foundational. There are people who actually believe that God is killing or shortening their life in some way or causing them some sort of financial distress to try and teach them a lesson. I mean, there's all sorts of things that people have in their minds they think that God is doing, and they're praying, they're asking God, change this, change to God, please, why are you doing this? And the issue is not that they don't have faith. The issue is they don't even know their God. So Satan can come in and do a bunch of crazy stuff, and they think it's God. So instead of resisting it, they assist it. And anytime you assist the enemy rather than resist him, you're going to have problems. Every single time. But if you know your God, when the enemy or some circumstance or just life in general happens in front of you, there's this foundation underneath you, and you go, no, that's not God. God is like this, and you can go back to what you have allowed in truths that are going to govern what you think, what you say, and what you do. And you can, and when the enemy comes in with a lying thought, you can go, nope, that's not who God is. Well, you were saved, but you probably sinned so much that you're not going to make it. Nope, that's not who God is. I did not reject Jesus. I may have made harebrained, stupid mistakes since I got saved. But I should tell you one. A story just came to mind. This will help you understand me a little bit more, I guess. Maybe why I am the way I am. I was in high school, and okay, I'm just going to share this as a testimony, not as an encouragement to anybody. Not that I'm worried about it here. But in case somebody's listening on the internet out there, okay? When I was in high school, I smoked weed, okay? And we'd get together, and we'd have parties at my buddy's house. And we'd get together, and one night, you know, I don't know why when everybody's drunk and high, they want to talk about God. But for some reason, that was the subject this night. I have no idea why, okay? But it just came up. And so we're standing in a circle, literally passing the pipe around, okay? And so I'm standing there, and I'm listening to these guys talk, and we're all just lit. I mean, we're not making sense. But anyway, Jesus came up. Well, I was raised in church, you know? And so they're all talking about this stuff, and they're like, well, do you think God's real and stuff? And I said, yeah, I think he's real, you know? What about Jesus? I said, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Obviously, yeah, I'm a stalwart Christian right now. You're going to follow that guy's example. Okay, anyway, so they're talking about this, and I made this statement, and it stood out to me. It stood out to me. I didn't deny that Jesus was the Son of God. I knew I should not do that. But what I said was, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I said, but I'm not serving him right now. That's literally what I said. And it like rung inside of me. You know how you say something or you hear something? It's just like it's all you hear. Everything else just kind of fades away. That's what the way it was for me. So at that moment, I realized, now I didn't turn my life around, or I should say, I didn't give my life to the Lord directly after that, but it wasn't maybe a year. And I started serving God and haven't looked back. I have not smoked pot since then, okay? So anyway, but at that time, I knew a truth. I knew it. And I wasn't going to deny it. If I'd have died at that moment, would I have gone to hell? I don't know. But I knew that God was real and that Jesus was my only way. I knew it was. I knew it was that case. So in that, I believe the Lord would have preserved me. I don't know, but I know he's doing his part, even if I haven't done mine. Does that make sense? You're not saved by your works. You're saved by his works. Now, you can do some good things out of that, out of what he did, but you're not saved by that. You're saved by God's grace to you. So we're allowed to be called the children of God. I don't know how I got off on that, but it'll help somebody. Okay. So let's go to Luke chapter 15, and we'll wrap this up here. I hope you're learning something. I hope this is helping you. Even if you just take away one or two things, you know, all the filler you can just throw out. Whatever the Holy Spirit's emphasizing to you, man, that's what you want to take away. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And this is the story of the prodigal son. And I read this commentary. I really, really liked it. It says this. This story could also be called the parable of the loving father, for it emphasizes the graciousness of the father more than the sinfulness of the son. I like that. That's good for me. Unlike the shepherd and the woman, if you read the rest of the previous part of this, Luke 15, he talked about the lost sheep and the lost coin. But unlike the shepherd and the woman in the previous parables, the father did not go out to seek the son, but it was the memory of his father's goodness that brought the boy to repentance and forgiveness. Okay? It was the memory of his father's goodness. I want in your mind, God is good all the time. Now, we can run off and do stupid stuff, but it doesn't change the character of God. Okay? God is still good. He's still excited about you. He still loves you. He wants to do everything that you had in your heart from the onset of him, you knowing him. There's a fly attacking me. from the onset of you and knowing him, from the time that you gave your life to him, every plan that he has for you is still in his heart for you. All we have to do is cooperate with him, and he'll bring it to pass in our lives. Does that make sense? Okay, so the younger brother, let's talk about this. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 says, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So in other words, he wanted his inheritance. So he divided his property between who? Did he just give it to his son, his younger son? He gave it to them. So the property was divided to both the boys. Okay, there's a younger and an older. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. Now, I don't know if you know anything about Jewish culture, but pigs and Jews do not go hand in hand, okay? They are absolutely not to be together, okay? And that will give you some understanding, like the madman of Gadara and some of those things. You know, some of those stories where Jesus went and cast demons out of a man and they went into pigs. The Jews should have never had pigs. They weren't supposed to have pigs. But it'll give you some understanding about that anyway if you want to look at it. All right, so he's feeding pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. Man, you got to be hungry if you're looking at pig's food and going, I want some of that. You're not looking at the pig and going, bacon. You're looking at what they're eating and saying, I want some of that, okay? That you got to be hungry, okay? Okay, so he was starving to death, basically. So he said, when he came to his senses, so apparently if you look at pig's food and it looks good to you, that's the point where you come to your senses. How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. So let's just kind of run through this. First of all, we see the son going into rebellion. He went to the far country. According to Jewish law, an elder son received twice as much as the other sons, okay? As the older son received twice as much. And a father could distribute his wealth during his lifetime if he wished. It was perfectly legal for the younger son to ask for his share of the estate and even sell it. So that was part of the deal. He could do it. He didn't have to wait until mom and dad croaked in order to receive the money. He could ask for it and receive it if the father wanted to give it to him. But it was certainly not very loving, a loving thing on his part. It was as though he were saying to his father, I wish you were dead. That's essentially what he was saying to his dad. Give me my inheritance. I don't want to wait till you die. I wish you were dead now. So this son is not in a good place. Okay? And the father realizes it, but you notice the father doesn't argue with him. He just gives him the inheritance. And if you look at it, you think about this story, what brought the son back to his father? It was his memory of how well the father treated even the slaves. It was the goodness of God that brought him or led him back to his father. It is the goodness of God that will lead you back to places where you should be. It's the thought and understanding and knowing him that when you do make a mistake, I know God loves me. And there's a firm foundation there to where you can go back to him and go, you know what, Lord? And he says, I understand. Don't worry about it. Let's move forward. Okay? So, it says... It was as though the son was saying that he wished his father was dead. Thomas Huxley said this, a man's worst difficulties begin when he is able to do just as he likes. It's true. This is why character and understanding God is so important. Because I'll put it to you like this. When you can do whatever you want, what you choose to do reveals who you are on the inside. Does that make sense? Okay, let's put it to you like this. If you're a billionaire and you don't have to work another day in your life, what do you choose to do? People think, well, I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to buy an island. And I put a house on the island. And I'm just going to go out and just lay on the beach. You'd get bored after a while. Probably I'd get bored after a short while. Other people think, well, you know, I'm going to pay off everything I own and put it in accounts and leave it to my kids. In other words, when you can do whatever you want, what you choose to do reveals what's in your heart. I heard this story about Brother Hagin. He was a multimillionaire by the time he passed away, okay? He had millions of dollars coming in a year tax-free. Okay, because he had invested in different companies. I worked in their houses when I was down there. I actually worked in their, they had parsonages for the ministers there. And I worked in some of the houses. And so I did painting and different things. We just did different maintenance stuff on the houses because I was employed by Rhema. And one of the things I noticed is in the great-grandkids' rooms, they had framed stocks of like Coca-Cola, these different stocks that Brother Hagin apparently had invested in, and he was passing it down. I remember him saying that when he passed away, he was going to leave for the great grandkids, I want to say it was like $300,000 in accounts for them. Okay? Now, people hear that and they think, well, that preacher, you know, or whatever. Or they think, boy, that'd be nice. How much more does your Father love you? We need to exercise our faith. Have you ever looked at another person or another ministry and you saw something in them and you thought, man, yeah, I want to be able to do that. That speaks to me. I'd like to see that. I'd like God to do that for me. It's all available to you if you'll exercise it. What do you mean by exercise it? I mean this. I mean, when a thought comes to you or a circumstance comes to you that's separate from what God said about you in His Word, you have to reject that and take what God said about you. Does that make sense? That is simply exercising your faith. You are choosing, faith is choosing to believe what God said about you, even though the circumstances, your feelings, and maybe even your thoughts say otherwise. And that's what gives God access to do in your life what He desires and declares to you in His Word. Is that clear? Don't ask me to say it again. Because I don't know that I could say it any clearer than that. You are choosing by your own will to say, Lord, this is who You are, okay? And I choose to agree with who You are and what You said about me, even though everything over here says, no, that's not going to happen. That's what faith is. And you've already exercised it. Because when you were born again, I mean, how have you seen heaven? Have you been there yet? No. We talked about it last week. Jesus didn't jump inside you when you got born. I mean, He did, but He didn't. You understand what I'm saying? You didn't see Him, like, come into you. You know, that'd be weird, right? I am just moving in. Just walk into Him. Okay, no, that's not what happened, but by faith, you're choosing to believe what God said over what you see and feel, what's going on around you. Does that make sense? So what we see here is we see a rebellious child, and so what we want to build into you is the nature of God through this. And apparently, time-wise, I'm not going to get through it all, but we'll get through as much as we can, and it'll help you. I probably have too much anyway. So I'm going to skip down here. To where He returns, to where the Son returns. It was the goodness of God. This is what I want you to see mostly about the Son leaving, is the fact that it was the goodness of God that brought Him back to His Father. It wasn't God it wasn't the memory of how His dad always browbeat Him. It was the memory of how good His dad treated His servants, how good He treated him, how good He treated His older brother, how He had stored up an inheritance for him. It was all those good things. And if you read in Romans 2:4, it says the goodness of God is what leads men to repentance. Verse 20 says this, but while Luke 15:20, but while He was still a long way off, His Father saw Him and was filled with compassion for Him. Now think about that, guys. This is a picture of God. God knew what He, or His Father knew what He was doing, because if you read later on in the chapter, you'll see where the younger son, or the older son, basically told off on all the sins of the younger son. And one of them was he wasted his money on harlots. What does that mean? He was buying prostitutes. Let me know, that's not what his father's intention was for all the money he gave him. Do you see that? But yet God, or the Father in this situation, when He sees him coming, He doesn't think, it doesn't say He was filled with wrath. Isn't that interesting? I thought about that, because I've thought, well, there are so many times where people have this image of God, and it's going on even today, where people say God's going to burn America. Well, if God wanted to get rid of America, it'd be done already. He's not looking to destroy. He's looking to save. And something that I really felt like the Lord was saying in this, is that if there's any glimmer of hope that you might change your mind
about whether you believe in him or not, God will continue to work with you. If there is just the slightest bit of opportunity or openness in your heart to a little bit about God, he'll find a way to speak to you. He will. Because his heart is filled with compassion for you. That word compassion means to yearn. It's interesting. To be moved as to one's inward parts. In other words, who you are on the inside. Jesus was moved with compassion toward the multitudes, and there's a lot of scripture on this. But when he was, it says that whole cities were healed. Now, this is what we would call, and I don't know, this is the only word I can think of right now, and I'm going to use it. I don't know that I necessarily like this word altogether, but what we'd call it maybe a sovereign move of God. In other words, these people were not exercising their faith toward God. God was coming down and saying, hey, look, this is what I'm like. If God did that then through Jesus, couldn't he do it now through us? All he's looking for is people who are willing. And if you're willing, man, God can go miles with just, yeah, I'm willing to do that. Because he's not looking for your great ability or even your great power or all the finances you have. He's got more. He doesn't need any of that. He just needs somebody to be open and say, God, okay, you want to build churches through me? Okay, I'll do it. And people are great. You know, I'm being sarcastic, sorry. People are great. You know, you share with them, yeah, we're going to plant a church. Oh, what if nobody comes? I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to think about everything else we have to do. And get that done and let God take care of that. You know what I mean? In other words, God just, you're going to do what? How are you going to pay for? My God can do much more than any billionaire can do. He can move governments just right out of the way. He doesn't care. I heard this testimony about Jesse Duplantis. He wanted this particular thing for his airplane or airport, and only government agencies had it. And all these billionaires and different people had tried to get it out of the government for their airplanes, but they wouldn't give it to him. And they mocked him. They mocked Jesse because he shared it with people. They said, oh, yeah, well, it'd be an act of God if that happened. He got it. You know what? That's my God. I can get it. Why? He'll do it. He gave us this building to use. I mean, think about it. My grandpa and then a couple other men were founders here, okay? They started this campus. When they started it, there was like four boys here. Four boys in like a house. You know, it was a ranch. And look where it is now. It's not only a presence here, it's a presence in the city. Why? Because they got the heart of God and they just moved forward and let God do his thing. Man, that is our Father. We're okay. We're safe. We're stable. Why? My God will do much more for me than the people who love me the most on this planet. And you can't just go, oh, yeah, I agree with that. You have to, like, grab it and just lock your jaw on it. Because you know as well as I do, everything in this world is going to tell you, no, that'll never happen. Nope. No, that's crazy talk. Oh, yeah, like God's going to do that for you. He's the creator. He's my Father. And in doing good for me, he's not going to hurt you. He'll do good for you too. Well, God, Sean's dad gave him a half an acre. Parents gave him a half an acre. Yeah, and my parents and my God in heaven can give me that much more. Do you see what I'm saying? And so I guess the central truth that I'm just trying to get to you today is grab on to what God is like. I'd encourage you, go back through and read this, or maybe we'll look at it again next week, I don't know. But let that truth be firm inside you. Don't let it go. Believe it. Let it govern what you think, what you say, and what you do. Allow it to lead you in your conversation, lead you in your thought, lead you in moving forward in your life, because as you do, then it gives an open door to God to be able to move in your life. don't know about you, but I'm glad I came today. That helped me tremendously. There are things happening right now for this church that I don't even know about. And it's just, God's just waiting for something to intersect. And I'm going to be at the right place at the right time. And they're going to, oh, and the blessings will come, and then I'll come tell you. So you can enjoy it too. Let's apply it to you. There are things happening right now that God is working out on your behalf that you don't even know about yet, and you're gonna intersect them, and you're gonna be able to look back and go, you know what? We were in service on such and such a day, and God spoke, and we heard that He was a good God, and that He would do more than we could ask or think, and that He was way better than our natural parents, and this is just a blessing from God. But that only happens for those who are open, willing, and expecting. I volunteer. You know what I mean? I absolutely volunteer. Oh, God, you want to bless me better than my parents? Okay, I'm an open, wide open heart. Because you know what I'm going to do with it? I'm going to turn around and even bless somebody else. We become an avenue for God's goodness and God's blessing. You know what I mean? To where your time can be so freed up that you're just known as the blessing guy around town. I mean, imagine that you're so blessed that you go, that you say, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and make the first payment on that car for you. Or I'm just going to make your house payment this month. I've paid car payments before. Why? Because I wanted to. It was like, yeah, I want to do this for you. And people are like, oh. See, that's the biggest thing that stops God from being able to do amazing things. Is we go, oh, no, you don't have to do that. No, He doesn't have to. He wants to. At Christmas, are you like, no, I can't take the gift. No. Here, take it back. Here, let me pay you for it. No, it's a gift. That's just it. It's a gift. You can't pay God back anyway. He doesn't want payback. He wants receivers that will express who He is to others. That's what He wants. So if God gave you Jesus, man, I'm almost too giddy about this message. If God gave you Jesus, what will He hold back from you? He gave you the best right off the bat. Do you see that? Do you want that? Let's pray. You agree with me. I'm serious. We're going to pray, and God's going to do some things this week that you'll just go, you know, next week you'll have to come in and go, guess what happened? Or it'll be all over Facebook. Or if you don't have Facebook, something else will happen. Okay, so anyway, you'll have to tweet it or text somebody. You know what I mean? Text me, Facebook me, tell me what happened. I did this one time in a service, and I was talking about how somebody's going to get saved. I know they are. And there was a situation where a husband and wife were in this church, and she had had a previous husband who she was divorced from, who was a total hate God type thing. And this guy all of a sudden opened up and wanted to know about God and had an encounter with God and all this stuff. And we had prayed about it that morning. We had prayed about it, and it was later that afternoon that it came about, or like 2 days later. So God can move, man. You may have family members that aren't saved. Pray for them. God will send them a person that they can just totally relate to, yet that person is full of Christ. Does that make sense? Well, yeah, but we've been in such and such a culture, and we have this background. And so what? God doesn't care about your backgrounds. God can move through background so easily. He just, look, if He can find a spot. All right, let's pray. Father, we just come together in the name of Jesus right now, and we touch and agree on this. Lord, You said, and You showed us this morning, and You emphasized it to us by Your Holy Spirit, that You are better to us than our natural parents are to us. That You're better to us, and You have more love and expression of that love to us than we do toward our own kids. And we know how much we love our spouses or kids, Lord, but we can't even touch the level of love and expression of that love that you have for us. So we just agree right now in the name of Jesus, and we say, Lord, we are open to the expression of your love toward us. You gave us Jesus, so we know you're not withholding anything. So we open our hearts up wide, and we just set our expectation level on high that you are going to show us even more, and we are going to receive it with gratitude in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Father, I thank you for the service. I thank you for these people. Lord, bless them, keep them, protect them, watch over them. I thank you that your angels encamp around about them. Bring them back safely to us, Lord. And thank you that you're going to operate and move on your word this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.